I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We'll look together at verses 1 through 8 of Romans chapter 12. There we read, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." This is the word of the Lord. When I was a student at the University of Florida, I was part of a small department of only about 22 students. So we had almost all of our classes were all together. We socialized with each other. We spent a lot of time with just this small group of people. And I figured out pretty quickly that if I wanted to fit in with my graduate department at the University of Florida, that I needed to have three things. I needed to have a North Face backpack, I needed to have a MacBook computer, and I needed to drive a Honda Civic. I only ever got two of those. I couldn't afford a Honda Civic. But it was pretty easy to look around and to say, okay, this is sort of the norm. This is what everybody has. My point is that fitting in is relatively easy, right? School started this week. My guess is we have a pretty good sense. We can look around and figure out what the patterns are, what the trends are. If we want to fit in, we can probably do that. So my mom, every summer, takes all of her grandkids back to school shopping. My oldest nieces and nephews have decided that they want to wait to do that until after school starts, because that way they can make sure that they are getting the right clothes so that they can fit in. Fitting in is relatively easy. We can figure out what actions, what behaviors, what clothes will help us be a part of the crowd. Fitting in is easy, but belonging is different from fitting in. Belonging speaks to our deepest need, that deep-seated need that we all have to be known, to be accepted, to be loved for who we are, not the self that we put on in order to fit in. Sometimes we feel that we need to be somebody else in order to fit in, but then because we're not being ourselves, we feel like we don't really belong. That desire to belong, to be known, accepted, and loved for who we are is a primal need that we all have. And in today's passage, the Apostle Paul says we belong to each other. And that idea of belonging, I'm going to suggest this morning, governs everything else that we just read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And we see that because Paul begins in Romans chapter 12 by saying, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy." Now, sometimes when we see that little word, therefore, we just have to look to the immediate sentence before it. But Romans chapter 12 actually begins a new section in this letter. Romans 1 through 11 is all Paul's theological framework. It's the whole backdrop with which he's operating. And he sets up this framework with ideas like there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He builds this theological framework with ideas like we all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God, but we are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Writing to this church of Jews and Gentiles in Rome, which, by the way, he had never even visited. It's why Paul uses the image in Romans chapter 11 of branches grafted into a tree. And he says to the Gentile believers in Rome, you are like those branches, but now you're part of this tree. And in Romans chapter 11, he says, God has shown mercy to Jews and Gentiles alike. And then in Romans 12, he says, therefore. In light of this whole theological framework that Paul has spent 11 chapters laying out, he is going to give some encouragement and some exhortation for how that should transform the way we live. And one of the first things he says is verse 4, you are one body. You belong to each other. But here's the reality. When it comes to our life together as the church, when it comes to our communal walk with God, when it comes to being the body of Christ together, it is a whole lot easier to fit in than to belong. Fitting in is fairly straightforward. To fit in, maybe we dress a certain way. To fit in, maybe we emphasize our shared ethnic background. To fit in, maybe we figure out our shared place of employment. To fit in, maybe we act a certain way, or maybe we adapt to certain cultural norms. Like I did at the University of Florida. We survey the room and we figure out this is what I need to do to feel like I fit in. But Paul isn't content with the church being a place where we fit in. The good news of the gospel, Paul says, is that we belong to each other. It means that the church is a place where we can be known, where we can be accepted, where we can be loved for who we are. The church is a place where we ought to be free to be our authentic selves, to be people who are broken and in need of grace, people who desire and are in the process of being transformed. The church is a place where we can express our heart's desires. The church is a place where we can be honest about our doubt and our questions and the ways we wrestle with who God is and how God works in this world. The church is a place where we can say, this is how I need help, and expect that people will be there. The church is a place where we can stand up and say, I have a need, and find people tripping over themselves in order to help us and take care of it. Is that our experience of church? For some of us, it is. For some of us, our experience of the church here or elsewhere has looked just like that. We felt known and accepted and loved. I mean, we just heard about it from Deb's statement about Joey and his profession of faith. This is where I belong. It's my home. We feel home. It's why it brings me so much joy to go downstairs after church and grab Shiloh from children of worship or Judah from the nursery and see all these kids just tearing around downstairs, because I love seeing kids feeling at home in the church. One of my greatest desires as a pastor, one of my greatest joys, is when the young people of this church feel like this is the place where they belong. This is their home, their place. Some of us have felt that deep embrace of the church. Some of us have experienced how the church is right there to help when we have a need, and we find that we can be authentic and honest and real, and we have found the church to be a place where we belong. But of course, for some of us, that hasn't been the case. Maybe the church has hurt us. Maybe we've been burned by sharing something about ourselves with somebody who was supposed to help, supposed to encourage us, supposed to support us, and instead they turned it into vicious gossip. Maybe we had a real need and we were struggling, but when we actually presented that need, when we got the guts to actually admit that we needed help, rather than finding help, we found ourselves scrutinized, minimized, or ignored. Some of us have found the church not to be a place where we feel like we can belong, but a place where instead we feel like we need to put on a mask and cover up the reality of what's going on in our lives. So even though everything may be falling apart at home, we walk into church, we put on a mask, we put on our happy face, and we sit down and we say, "Good morning. Isn't it great to be here?" And inside, we're falling apart. Paul says here in Romans chapter 12 that we belong to each other. For some of us, this has been our experience of the church, and it has been one of the biggest and best gifts of our lives. And for others of us, we keep longing and hoping that that can be the case. So what does it take to belong? Right? Obviously, our hope and our prayer is that church is a place where we could belong, not just fit in. As a pastor, as a member of the leadership body of this church, our hope and our prayer is that everybody would experience the former rather than the latter, where we would belong, where we would be known and accepted and loved for who we are. But the first step is that it begins with all of those things that Paul lays out in the first 11 chapters of Romans. It begins with that deep-rooted assurance created in me by the Holy Spirit that not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven, have been granted salvation, have been made forever right with God. It begins with that deep-rooted sense of belonging that the Catechism speaks of in its very first question and answer. What is my only comfort in life and in death? That I belong to my body, by belong body and soul, with my entire being, my broken, imperfect self, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. If we want to be a body that belongs to each other, we begin with the therefore of Romans 12, verse 1. We begin with the deep-rooted reminder that we belong to God. That the God of the universe loves us, cares for us, knows what's best for us, and desires for us to live a life of joy, desires for us to live a life of abundance, desires for us to flourish like a tree planted by streams of water. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, because we belong, because we have been grafted in, because we have become one body through the grace of Jesus Christ, how then do we share that sense of belonging with each other? I think we see three things in this passage, three ways to share that sense of belonging. One, because we belong, we get to serve. Verse 1, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is a fairly well-trod passage of Scripture that I'm guessing many of us have heard sermons and chapel talks over our lifetime, so I'm not going to say too much about this other than this. It is an expansive vision that says that everything I do, all of my life, how I work, how I play, how I study, how I go to school, how I do my job, how I interact with other people at church, everything I do belongs to God as an act of worship. And so, yes, that has ramifications for what we do Monday through Saturday, but sometimes when we look at this passage, we're so quick to jump to the all of life application that we also miss that it says something about what we do here at church. Here at church, we get to serve each other. You know, in any body, any church, there's a lot of things that need to be done, or so we think. Right, we're coming into the start of a new academic year, a new ministry year. I mean, if you look at the bulletin, we need a second grade Sunday school teacher. We need a fourth grade GEMS counselor. We have Guess Who's Coming to Dinner coming up on September 9. We could always use more gifts to the offering, to the legacy plan fund. There's lots of needs in the church. And the temptation as a church is to frame that in language of obligation. Well, you have to do this. We need people to do this. But the story of the gospel is that we belong to each other by grace. And because we belong, we get to serve. So we get to get down on our hands and knees and teach the stories of the Bible to our youngest children and children in worship. We get to raise up the next generation of believers by teaching second graders Sunday school lessons. We get to serve one another by serving in the leadership of this church when letters for counsel will go out in some 7 or 8 months. We get to serve each other. We get to fellowship with each other. We get to spend time with one another. It's not an obligation. It's not something you have to do. It's not even something you ought to do. It's something we get to do because of the grace of Jesus Christ uniting us with one another, making us into a body. We get to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And that's not just Monday through Saturday. That's here in this body of believers. Because we belong, we get to serve. But second, because we belong, we are humbled. Paul says, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment." Remember, you are part of a body. Right? Because we are part of something much bigger than ourselves, on one level, we are reminded of our relative unimportance. None of us is so much more important than the others. So I remember a few years ago, the Young Adult Leadership Task Force of the Christian Reformed Church put together a list of 30 under 30, right? The 30 leaders under the age of 30 who were making a difference in the CRC and the RCA, who were up and comers and movers and shakers and all those wonderful things. I was under 30. I thought, I should be on that list. And I wasn't. And I'll be honest, I was a little frustrated by that. I said, come on. Needed to be reminded of what Paul says here in Romans 12. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. See, God doesn't call us to make the 30 under 30 or the 40 under 40 or the 50 under or over 50, whichever direction you want to go with that. And some of us make those lists, and that's wonderful and delightful, and God is using us in those positions of authority and influence, and that's great. But God uses just as much the faithful obedience of our daily lives. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. God isn't demanding that you be the most special world-changing person in your field. Maybe God is simply calling you to introduce yourself to the person sitting two rows in front of you who you haven't had the chance to meet yet. God doesn't expect you to make the list of movers and shakers. Maybe God is asking that you give of yourself to lead worship or to serve in some other capacity. God isn't demanding that you win state championships or set a personal record or be the person who everybody looks at and says, wow, I really wish I could be like that person. Maybe God is simply calling you to model integrity in the way that you do your life from day to day, in the way that you come to church. Maybe God is calling you to take that step of modeling authenticity and what it means to be real and honest about the fact that we are broken, fallen human beings. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But in another sense, the idea that we are a body points to our relative importance. We are a body. We belong to each other. And what that means is that because we are a body, the body needs all of us. And none of us are exempt from that. So, brothers and sisters who are in your retirement years, I'm sorry you don't get to sail off into the sunset and simply go about your own way and say, well, I did my time, it's time for the next generation. We need you. We need your encouragement. We need you, your support. We need your prayer. We need your help. Members of this body who are disabled and who have special needs, we need you. We need your joy. We need your gifts. We need you to be a part of this body. We need everybody to belong. We need everybody to serve. Maybe you've been coming here for years. Maybe this is the only church you've ever known in Sioux Center. Maybe you've only been coming here a couple of weeks. Maybe you're even just here, well, if you're here visiting, your church home needs you. But maybe you've only been here a few weeks. Maybe you're still figuring out, do I really want to invest here? We need you. We are a body. And if you're a part of this body, that means that we get to serve one another. None of us are that much more important, but also none of us are unimportant. We need each other. We belong to each other. Finally, because we belong, we are equipped. Paul gives this list of gifts at the end of Romans 12, verses 1 through 8, and he says, if you have these gifts, then use them. And this gift, this list of gifts is not meant to be exhaustive. Rather, it's meant to be exemplary of the sorts of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And they're all gifts that are given so that we can build each other up, so we can help each other, so we can love each other, so we can encourage and sustain one another in the fellowship of believers, as we promised again to those who made profession of faith. They are exemplary of the fact that we are equipped to be a body together. And so we have a responsibility. We have an opportunity to help each other discern those gifts. So maybe that means that God is going to call us to look at somebody else and say, I see a passion for service within you. Have you ever thought about being a deacon? Maybe it means saying to somebody, I see that you have such a passion for sharing the gospel. Have you ever thought about going to seminary? Maybe it means, I see that you have been blessed. Maybe God is calling you to use those gifts to serve one another. We tend to have this sort of live and let live attitude that says that, well, I can't suggest to you what you ought to be doing, and you can't suggest to me what I ought to be doing. We tend to have this attitude that says, well, you live your life, and I'll live my life, and you live your life, and we'll live our lives over here. But we get to help each other. We get to belong to each other. So think about how affirming it is when someone looks at you and says, I see something within you. I see your gifts. Because it goes back to that sense of belonging, of feeling known, feeling accepted, feeling loved. Because we belong, we are equipped. So here's what I want us to do this week. I'm going to give us a little bit of, well, not homework, because that's obligation, and I don't like the language of obligation as we just talked about, but an opportunity that I would like to invite you to think about doing this week. I'd like to invite you to randomly select a member of this congregation, if you're a member here. If you're not a member here, do this with your church back home. You can grab the church directory and just flip it open and point your finger to a random name. You can use a random number generator for all, whatever works for you, to randomly select a member of this congregation, young or old, doesn't matter, whether you know them or not, it doesn't matter. But I want you to pray for that person. I want to invite you to pray that God would make it clear to them that they are a beloved member of this body. I want to invite you to pray that God would make it clear to that person that they belong here. That God would make it clear that they are needed in this church. That their gifts, their voices, who they are, it matters to the life of this church. And then I invite you to pray that God would make it clear to them how they can serve this church, where they are, in the stage of life they are, with the gifts that they have, with the ways that God has equipped them. That they would know that God is equipping them to offer themselves as a living sacrifice for the life of this body. And then the really hard part, because we can all go do that on our own. But then I would invite you to take it one step further. Send them an email. Send them a text message. Give them a phone call. Or even invite them for coffee and sit down with them face to face. And say, how can I pray for you? Get to know each other. Listen to their heart, hear their passion, and say, I want you to know that you are a beloved member of this community. We belong to each other. How can I pray for you, and how is God equipping you to serve? Can you imagine what happens if every member of this congregation feels that they didn't just have to fit in, but that they belong? Can you imagine the difference if every member of this church felt prayed for and encouraged, felt needed? Can you imagine the difference if every member of this church felt equipped to serve, that when council letters go out next spring, I didn't get a single response back that said, I don't think God has gifted me to serve in this way? Because we've identified that gift and we've said, we feel that God is equipping you. Can you imagine the difference if our Sunday school teachers felt like they were doing this because somebody said to them, I think you would be great to work with our kids? The difference goes back to that vision of the church that we laid out as a place where we belong to each other. Now, this side of heaven, of course, there's no such thing as a perfect church. My suspicion is that because we are assured of God's grace, because we are assured that we belong, if we in turn pray for one another and pray that God would help all who come through these doors know that they are accepted, know that they are loved, know that they are equipped, know that they belong, well, I have the feeling that we would move in a direction where all of us would know more and more just what a gift it is that we belong to each other. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unmerited, unearned grace. We thank you that because of your grace, you have accepted us, you have loved us, you have given us a place to belong. God, we pray that you would help each and every one of us to know in the core of our being that we belong to you. And that because we belong to you, we pray that you would help us to feel that we belong to each other. God, help us to know that we are needed. Help us to know that we have the opportunity to serve one another. Help us to know that you have equipped us for our life together as a church. God, we pray that this church would reflect more and more that sense of belonging. We pray that this church more and more would be a place where everybody knows that they belong, where everybody knows that they are needed, where everybody knows and feels in their heart of hearts that they are equipped to serve each other. Heavenly Father, may we be inspired by your grace. May we respond to your grace by living a life of gratitude, a life of service, in service of you, in service of your church, in service of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
As we respond to the good news,